Section 4, America Enters the War, An American Story. December 7, 1941 dawned like any other Sunday in Hawaii, where teenager Daniel Inouye lived with his family. Like other Americans who lived through the experience, Inouye would never forget what he was doing the moment American isolationism ended. As soon as I finished brushing my teeth and pulled on my trousers, I automatically clicked on the little radio that stood on the shelf above my bed. I remember that I was buttoning my shirt and looking out the window when the hum of the warming set gave way to a frenzied voice. "This is no test," the voice cried out. "Pearl Harbor is being bombed by the Japanese." The Inouye family ran outside and gazed toward the naval base at Pearl Harbor. And then we saw the planes. They came zooming up out of that sea of gray smoke, flying north toward where we stood and climbing into the bluest part of the sky. And they came in twos and threes in neat formations. And if it hadn't been for that red ball on their wings, the rising sun of the Japanese Empire, you could easily believe they were Americans flying over in precise military salute. Quoted in Eyewitness to America. FDR supports England. The Japanese attack surprised many Americans. Most people had believed that Germany posed the greatest danger. What Americans did not realize was that the causes of the Japanese attack could be traced back more than 2 years to President Roosevelt's policies for helping Britain against Germany. The Neutrality Act of 1939. President Roosevelt officially proclaimed the United States neutral 2 days after Britain and France declared war on Germany. Despite this declaration, he was determined to do all he could to help the two countries in their struggle against Hitler. Soon after the war began, Roosevelt called Congress into a special session to revise the neutrality laws. He asked Congress to replace the ban on arms sales to nations at war with a cash and carry provision. Public opinion strongly supported the president. Despite isolationist opposition, Congress passed the new law. Under the Neutrality Act of 1939, warring nations could buy weapons from the United States if they paid cash and carried the arms on their own ships. Destroyers for Bases Deal. In the spring of 1940, the United States faced its first test in remaining neutral. In June, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill began asking Roosevelt to transfer old American destroyers to Britain. Britain had lost nearly half its destroyers and needed more to protect its cargo ships from German submarines and to block any German attempt to invade Britain. Determined to give Churchill the destroyers, Roosevelt used a loophole in the provision of the Neutrality Act that required cash for purchases. In exchange for the right to build American bases on British-controlled Newfoundland, Bermuda, and islands in the Caribbean, Roosevelt sent 50 old American destroyers to Britain. Since the deal did not involve an actual sale, the Neutrality Act did not apply. On September 3, 1940, he announced his action to an astonished press. Reading check. Examining. How were the Neutrality Acts revised? The isolationist debate. Widespread public acceptance of the Destroyers for Bases deal demonstrated a marked change in American public opinion. The shift began after the German invasion of France and the rescue of Allied forces at Dunkirk. By July 1940, most Americans favored offering limited aid to the Allies. The range of opinion. American opinion was hardly unanimous. In fact, beginning in the spring of 1940, a spirited debate took place between people who wanted greater American involvement in World War II and those who felt that the United States should remain neutral. At one extreme was the Fight for Freedom Committee, a group which urged the immediate declaration of war on Germany. Closer to the center, the Committee to Defend America by Aiding the Allies, headed by journalist William Allen White, pressed for increased American aid to the Allies, but opposed armed intervention. Roosevelt's Destroyers for Bases deal led to the founding of the America First Committee, a staunchly isolationist group that firmly opposed any American intervention or aid to the Allies. The group had many famous members, including aviator Charles Lindbergh, Senator Gerald Nye, and former President Herbert Hoover. The election of 1940. The heated debate over neutrality took place in the midst of the 1940 presidential election campaign. For months, Americans had wondered whether President Roosevelt would follow long-standing tradition by retiring at the end of his second term. With the United States in a precarious position, a change of leaders might not be in the country's best interest. Roosevelt decided to run for an unprecedented third term. During the campaign, FDR steered a careful course between neutrality and intervention. The Republican nominee, Wendell Willkie, did the same, promising that he too would stay out of the war but assist the Allies. The voters re-elected Roosevelt by a wide margin, preferring to stick with a president they knew during this crisis period. Reading check. Analyzing. Why did Roosevelt win an unprecedented third term in office? Edging toward war. With the election safely over, Roosevelt expanded the nation's role in the war. Britain was fighting for democracy, he said, and the United States had to help. Speaking to Congress, he listed the four freedoms for which both the United States and Great Britain stood: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. The Lend-Lease Act. By December 1940, Great Britain had run out of funds to wage its war against Germany. President Roosevelt came up with a way to remove the cash requirement of the Neutrality Act. With the Lend-Lease Act, the United States would be able to lend or lease arms to any country considered vital to the defense of the United States. This act meant that the United States could send weapons to Britain if Britain promised to return or pay rent for them after the war. The president warned that if Britain fell, an unholy alliance of Germany, Japan, and Italy would keep trying to conquer the world, and then all of us in the Americas would be living at the point of a gun. The president argued that the United States should become the great arsenal of democracy to keep the British fighting and make it unnecessary for Americans to go to war. The America First Committee disagreed, but Congress passed the Lend-Lease Act by a wide margin. By the time the program ended, the United States had contributed more than $50 billion in weapons, vehicles, and other supplies to the Allied war effort. While shipments of supplies to Britain began at once, Lend-Lease Aid eventually went to the Soviet Union as well. After calling off the invasion of Britain, Hitler returned to his original goal of carving out Lebensraum for Germany in Eastern Europe. In June 1941, in violation of the Nazi-Soviet Pact, Hitler launched a massive invasion of the Soviet Union. Although Churchill detested communism and considered Stalin a harsh dictator, he vowed that any person or state who fights against Nazism will have our aid. Roosevelt, too, supported this policy. The Hemispheric Defense Zone. Congressional approval of the Lend-Lease Act did not solve the problem of how to get American arms and supplies to Britain. German submarines patrolling the Atlantic Ocean were sinking hundreds of thousands of tons of shipping each month, and the British Navy simply did not have enough ships in the Atlantic to stop them. Roosevelt could not simply order the U.S. Navy to protect British cargo ships, since the United States was still technically neutral. Instead, he developed the idea of a hemispheric defense zone. Roosevelt declared that the entire western half of the Atlantic was part of the western hemisphere, and therefore neutral. He then ordered the U.S. Navy to patrol the western Atlantic and reveal the location of German submarines to the British. The Atlantic Charter. In August 1941, Roosevelt and Churchill met face-to-face on board American and British warships anchored near Newfoundland. During these meetings, the two men agreed on the text of the Atlantic Charter. It committed the two leaders to a post-war world of democracy, non-aggression, free trade, economic advancement, and freedom of the seas. Churchill later said that FDR pledged to force an incident, which would justify him in opening hostilities with Germany. An incident quickly presented itself. In early September, a German U-boat fired on the American destroyer Greer, which had been radioing the U-boat's position to the British. Roosevelt promptly responded by ordering American ships to follow a shoot-on-sight policy toward German submarines. The Germans escalated hostilities the following month, targeting two American destroyers. One of them, the Reuben James, broke in two after being torpedoed. It sank into the frigid waters of the North Atlantic, where 115 sailors died. As the end of 1941 grew near, Germany and the United States continued a tense standoff in the North Atlantic. Reading check. Evaluating. How did the Lend-Lease Act help the Allied war effort? Japan attacks the United States. Despite the growing tensions in the Atlantic, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was what finally brought the United States into World War II. Ironically, Japan's decision to attack the United States was a direct result of Roosevelt's efforts to help Britain in its war against Germany. America embargoes Japan. Between August 1939 and December 1941, Roosevelt's primary goal was to help Britain and its allies defeat Germany. He knew that one of the problems Britain faced was the need to keep much of its navy in Asia to protect British territories there from Japanese attack. As German submarines began sinking British shipping, the British began moving warships from Southeast Asia to the Atlantic, leaving their empire vulnerable. In response, Roosevelt introduced policies to discourage the Japanese from attacking the British Empire. Roosevelt began by putting economic pressure on Japan. Japan depended on the United States for many key materials, including scrap iron, steel, and especially oil. Approximately 80% of Japan's oil came from the United States. In July 1940, Congress passed the Export Control Act, giving Roosevelt the power to restrict the sale of strategic materials, materials important for fighting a war, to other nations. Roosevelt immediately blocked the sale of airplane fuel and scrap iron to Japan. Furious, the Japanese signed an alliance with Germany and Italy, formally becoming a member of the Axis. In 1941, Roosevelt began sending Lend-Lease aid to China. Japan had invaded China in 1937, and by 1941 it controlled much of the Chinese coast. Roosevelt hoped that Lend-Lease aid would enable the Chinese to tie down the Japanese and prevent them from attacking elsewhere. The strategy failed. By July 1941, the Japanese had sent troops into southern Indochina, posing a direct threat to the British Empire. Japanese aircraft were now in position to strike British shipping in the Strait of Malacca and bomb Hong Kong and Singapore. Roosevelt responded very quickly to the Japanese threat. He froze all Japanese assets in the United States, reduced the amount of oil being shipped to Japan, and sent General Douglas MacArthur to the Philippines to build up American defenses there. Roosevelt made it clear that he would lift the oil embargo only if Japan withdrew from Indochina and made peace with China. With the war against China now in jeopardy because of a lack of oil and other resources, the Japanese military began making plans to attack the resource-rich British and Dutch colonies in Southeast Asia. They also decided to seize the Philippines and to attack the American fleet at Pearl Harbor. They could not risk leaving the United States with a navy in the Pacific to oppose their plans. While the Japanese prepared for war, negotiations with the United States continued, but neither side would back down. On November 26, 1941, six Japanese aircraft carriers, two battleships, and several other warships set sail for Hawaii. Japan attacks Pearl Harbor. The Japanese government appeared to be continuing negotiations with the United States in good faith. American intelligence, however, had decoded Japanese communications that made it clear that Japan was preparing to go to war against the United States. On November 27th, American commanders at the Pearl Harbor Naval Base received a war warning from Washington. But Hawaii was not mentioned as a possible target. It was a great distance from Japan to Hawaii, and Washington officials doubted Japan would try to launch such a long-range attack. the failure to collect sufficient information, and the failure of the branches of the U.S. military to share the information available left Pearl Harbor an open target. The result was devastating. Japan's surprise attack on December 7, 1941, sank or damaged 21 ships of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, including 8 battleships, 3 cruisers, 4 destroyers, and 6 other vessels. The attack also destroyed 188 airplanes and killed 2,403 Americans. Another 1,178 were injured. On the night of the attack, a gray-faced Roosevelt met with his cabinet to tell them the country now faced the most serious crisis since the outbreak of the Civil War. The next day, the president asked Congress to declare war. Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of Japan. I believe I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but we will make very certain that this form of treachery shall never endanger us again. No matter how long it may take us, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. Quoted in Franklin D. Roosevelt, A Rendezvous with Destiny. Following the president's speech, the Senate voted 82-0 and the House 388-1 to declare war on Japan. Germany declares war. Although Japan was now at war with the United States, Hitler did not have to declare war on the Americans. The terms of the alliance with Japan specified that Germany only had to come to Japan's aid if Japan was attacked, not if Japan attacked another country. Hitler, however, had grown frustrated with the American Navy's attacks on German submarines, and he believed the time had come to declare war. Hitler greatly underestimated the strength of the United States, and he expected the Japanese to easily defeat the Americans in the Pacific. He hoped that by helping Japan now, he could count on Japanese support against the Soviet Union once the Americans had been beaten. On December 11th, Germany and Italy both declared war on the United States. Reading check. Examining. What finally caused the United States to become involved in World War II? Critical thinking skill builder, making generalizations. Why learn this skill? Have you ever heard statements such as, only tall people play basketball well, or dogs make better pets than cats? Do you accept these statements at face value, or do you stop and consider whether or not they are valid? Learning the skill. The statements listed above are called generalizations, which are broad statements about a topic. To be valid, a generalization must be based on accurate information. Let's examine the generalization. Only tall people play basketball well. We can find many examples of tall basketball players, but there are also many shorter players who excel at this sport. In this case, we began with a generalization and looked for facts to support or disprove it. In other cases, you will start with a group of facts about a topic and then make a generalization from these facts. To make a valid generalization, first collect information relevant to the topic. This information must consist of accurate facts, not opinions. Suppose that you want to make a generalization about a relative danger of airplane travel compared to automobile travel. First, you would collect accident statistics involving airplanes and cars. Your next step would be to classify the information into categories. Then you would look for relationships between these categories. For example, you might put the airplane and automobile statistics in separate categories. You might also categorize the number of accidents and the number of fatalities. Finally, you should make a generalization that is consistent with most of the facts you gathered. Practicing the skill. Reread the passage about the Austrian Anschluss and then answer these questions. 1. What facts about the Anschluss are presented? 2. Organize these facts into categories. 3. How does the vote held in Austria relate to the other facts? 4. What generalization can you make about Austria regarding the Anschluss? Applying the skill. Making generalizations. Review the information in the chapter about appeasement as it related to the countries of Czechoslovakia, France, and Britain. Write a generalization about Czechoslovakia's role in the appeasement policy. Support your generalization with at least 5 facts. Glencoe's Skill Builder Interactive Workbook CD-ROM Level 2 provides instruction and practice in key social studies skills.